Amen? Okay, just throwing it out there. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Grab your Bibles and hold them with you this morning, because we're going to get into the Word. Thank God for what's going on Wednesday nights, getting into the Word. Judges, Joshua, moving us into Book of Ruth this week, and into the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, Rise of the Davidic Monarchy. It's awesome stuff. Prophetic class going on, heard wonderful reports. The marriage class. I had a guy in this church, his name is Connolly Davis. He messaged me and said, man, I went to that marriage class, and oh my gosh, was it amazing. I'm learning about what it means to be married. And I'm like, so, you know, you can still catch on to this stuff if you want to come out on Wednesday nights. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to preach on spiritual warfare for the next few weeks. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hello? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's October. It's the scary month, right? The ghosts and the goblins and the horror movies and the Freddy Kruegers and the Jasons and the... all that's garbage. I'm just going to tell you, it's there to produce fear and to entertain people, but it has no authority over your life. And I want to talk about the reality of demons, the reality of Satan from the Scripture. This passage talks about us fighting against four different types of powers. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now I know, you know, I have scholar friends that translate this or interpret this verse within the context of the Roman Empire and believe that these four classes are basically dealing with the authorities of the day, the Roman authorities and whatnot. There's been great expositors like F.F. Bruce go down that road too. And I understand that, and I want us to be aware that we need to be good students of the Bible and listen to different interpretations without losing our religion or losing our faith. But when I look at this, I'm going to stick with a traditional interpretation, because when I look at this, I see this as spiritual, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts. And then if you look into the context of the book of Ephesians, he talks about the spiritual authority of Jesus in chapter 1 and how he has authority over all this different strata of spiritual and natural powers. He's been exalted above every name, might, dominion, and power, every name that is named. Ephesians chapter 1. So I'm going to stick with these are spiritual forces. And that you and I are in a battle, and we're in a battle against spiritual forces. Christianity is a battleground. It's a battleground between good and evil. And we're not fighting flesh and blood enemies. In other words, your boss is not really your problem. Your friends on Facebook who won't shut up are not necessarily your problem. Believe it or not, hold your breath, your husband or your wife may not really be your problem. But you have a deeper enemy, another enemy that's coming against you, and it's Satan and his forces. If you look into the Old Testament, there are Old Testament passages of Scripture that granted should be interpreted first of all in the context they're written in, and that was to a natural king. Specifically talking about Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. If you look at those two passages, the prophets are prophesying to a certain king of the day. But yet it seems that there's another thread woven into the prophetic words that seem to have another fulfillment, like a dual prophecy or dual prophetic fulfillment, talking about Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28, and then in Isaiah chapter 14, talking about one who says, I will exalt myself above God and I will become like God. And we've traditionally interpreted those as talking about Satan himself, a figure who wants to be above God, who evidently ruled with God or was an archangel with God, I should say. but then was cast out of heaven, if we interpret Revelation chapter 12 as the great dragon who swept a third of the stars out of heaven with him, if we interpret that as Satan sweeping out a third of the angels when he fell. Also, there's other passages. Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve are tempted by a serpent. And they're tempted to sin in Genesis chapter 2 by a serpent. We believe that serpent represents the opposer of our faith, or Satan. Also, there's Job chapter 1, who, I know there's a lot of discussion on this, but nonetheless, there is an opposer who comes before God and accuses Job before God. And we have traditionally believed that to mean Satan himself. And I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm cautious with the way I handle the biblical text because we should be. Amen, and we shouldn't leave our brains at home, but we should put them on our shoulders when we come to church too. So, what are demons then? What do we know about demons? Who are demons? Well, first of all, I want to say demons are not the spirits of your lost relatives. Or dead relatives. Demons are not dead Uncle Joe walking around the house. Because some people believe in ghosts. And there's even some liturgical traditions that believe, I think, in that some spirits, once a person dies, that spirit can roam the earth realm. Kind of like walking dead, but in spirit form. And so you have palm readers and you have seances and you have people that try to contact the dead, supposedly, that are living in the earth realm that can speak back and give us information about our lives or about the future, about the past or whatever. Well, I don't believe in that. Because the Bible says that when you die, you go one of two places. Number one, you go to hell. Or number one, you go to heaven. Jesus gave a story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died, who was a very cruel man. And when he died, he was carried directly into hell. When Lazarus died, who was a godly man, he went directly into the bosom of Abraham, which was a type of heaven for the Old Testament saints, I believe. And then Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I believe when you die, I don't believe in purgatory. It is not scriptural. That when you die, you go directly to hell or you go directly to heaven. We've known of saints of God who, when they got ready to die, they saw angels. They saw mom and grandma. They saw the pearly gates. Why? Because I believe they were seeing into where they were going. They were seeing into the next side. There have been many, 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 many stories of wicked people who died. And they would scream out, my feet are on fire. And then there are beings taking me down right now. Help me. And cry with everything in them because they were literally on their way to hell. That's why once you exit this life, there's not another life to get it right in. This is the time that you have to get your life right with Jesus. So I've had people call me, and I'm very sympathetic to their calls. They've called me, and they said, hey, Pastor, could you help us? We're hearing voices in our house. We're hearing chains drag across the floor, or there's things being moved, and chairs moved out of stuff, rolls across the floor, and nobody's there. We believe this place has ghosts. Can you help us? And my explanation is always like this. I believe what you're saying. I absolutely believe. I don't doubt it. It's your testimony. I don't doubt it. But number one, there are no ghosts. There are only demons. And I believe whatever's happening is of demonic origin. And we need to approach it from that standpoint and then go and rebuke demons and bind and cast out, plead the blood, and pray the victory of Jesus over the house. But if you're not right with God, you're opening the door to that kind of thing to come into your life. And then if I come and try to cast something out that you're just going to allow back in the next week, it really isn't going to do us any good. The first step is to get your life right with Jesus, get your heart straight so Satan has no access to your life. I didn't plan on saying all that, but I'm saying it anyhow. Hallelujah. So I think we have one of two situations in the church often. Number one, we have this over exuberance and excitement and overemphasis on the devil. The devil's behind everything. My glasses, I can't find them. Satan hit them. I know he did. Devil's fighting my finances. No, you're broke because you spent everything you have on stuff you didn't need. Did I say that this morning in this 11 o'clock? No, I mean, come on now. We blame Satan for a lot of stuff he's not doing. We give him too much credit sometimes. You know, sometimes it's just our own bad choices that get us into bad consequences, and then we want to displace blame. And man, I'm preaching right now. Then we want to displace blame and put it off on some spirit being. Then on the other extreme, there are those who don't believe in Satan at all. Or if they do, they act like they don't believe in him. It's always something natural and always the laws of science and always everything can be explained in this way. And we really suffer from this, I think, in the modern West, that everything's technologically advanced and we just kind of, you know, don't really consider demons or our spiritual enemies a lot. But you go to a developing nation, go to Africa, go to Haiti, go to some of these nations, and they still believe really in spirits and demons and curses, as was the context of the New Testament. They're closer to the context of the New Testament than we are, really. Okay, so demons come, and so what are demons? I believe they are fallen angels that fell with Satan. I believe they're fallen angels that fell with Satan. And so they do his bidding, they do his warfare. What do they come to do? From Scripture, we know of at least three things they come to do. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. Number one, they come to tempt you to sin. Demons come to tempt you to sin. If you notice Paul's writing 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about a servant of the Lord that must be gentle and not quarrelsome. And able to teach and be patient. And he says in verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So Satan wants to lure us into doing his will, which is contrary to the will of God. So sometimes demons are sent to us. I believe it. I believe they're sent to us to communicate to us in the spirit realm, to tempt us to do things. Smoke this, drink that. Take that woman home with you who's not your wife. Look at this, listen to that. I think they come and play on the nature of man. And they know and they like to draw you into temptation and draw you away from God's will. And then once you're hooked into it and you take the bait and you do commit sin, then they move over into another role, and that is the role of condemning you. Told you you weren't a Christian. Told you can't do stuff like that. You never knew God. There's no forgiveness for you. There's no hope for you. So they move out of the tempting role and on into the condemning role. Satan and his demons come to tempt you to sin. Second thing he comes to do is they come to distract you from God's will. They come to take you away from doing God's will. 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which were God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I think the original context here, he's talking against the Judaizers who came and wanted to pull the Christians back into this legalism of Judaism. You must be circumcised. You must keep the Jewish dietary laws. You must keep the Jewish feasts. And I think Paul is seeing this as a demonic influence. They're wanting to pull you away from freedom in Christ and put you over into bondage again, into all these things. Could we say that Satan comes to distract us from the will of God? I'm telling you, man, it's an amazing thing in life to be able to be focused and to be focused on the calling or the destiny that's on your life and the gifts that you have. Because I find so many times Satan comes just to cloud our lives and to get us off focus, to get us over here arguing over something or discouraged over something else or squabbling over something. And he loves it because it just takes us off of the game. It gets our eye off the ball, and we're here out wandering around with little things that don't matter when really God wants us focused on doing his will. And I'll tell you another way Satan comes in to distract us is he sows in incorrect teaching into the church or into the world. For example, we live in a day today that tolerance is king. We must tolerate everything, and we don't want to harm anybody. And I certainly am super cautious. I don't want to necessarily offend anyone, you know, unless you're offended by the truth or something. I don't want to offend anyone. But yet I'm cautious what I say. I don't want to be seen as a male chauvinist. I don't want to be seen as a racist. I don't want to be seen as someone who's just intolerant. And I want to be open, and I want to think, and I want to engage the world. However, sometimes we make that tolerance king, and we feel guilty if we don't take in everything. And so he says, well, a little bit of Buddhism's okay, and a little bit of Islam's okay, and all roads lead to God, so we're all going there, and it doesn't matter how you get there, just as long as you're on the road. I encountered a young man years ago when we were pastoring in Northern Virginia. I went out to eat one day with one of my friends, and the waiter came to us, and my friend said something like, hey, Hans here, he's a pastor. So the guy asked me the question, so what kind of church do you pastor? And I'm like, well, here we go. I said, I pastor a Pentecostal church. And he said, Pentecostal, He said, I've heard of Catholic, and I've heard of Protestant, but I've never heard of Pentecostal. And I thought, wow. Okay, you're using broad strokes, Catholic and Protestant, which we would fall under the Protestant umbrella, but you're using some broad strokes. And he said this, he said, I believe in Christianity. I was like, yes. He said, but I also believe in karma. And I thought, and I felt really for the young guy, because I thought, okay, he believes in Christianity, which I'm assuming what we assume, born again, Christian worldview. But yet, he's dipping over here into Hinduism and pulling out a Hindu Eastern belief and dropping it in with Christianity and stirring it up. And I'm like, dude, I didn't really combat him right there philosophically, but I thought, man, karma doesn't have any place in Christianity. Karma is a way to deal with sin in the Hindu pantheon. It's a way that you deal with bad stuff. How do you pay for sin? There's no atonement for sin. So how do you pay for the bad things? You come back to life again as something else. And you live this life again to try to burn off the bad deeds with good ones. And if you've done bad, it's going to come back, and you're going to have to live this life. You may come back as a cow. You may come back as a mosquito. But you're going to have to live this thing again. I would hate to come back as a mosquito, man. You're going to have to live this thing again to burn off. It's how they deal with sin. That has no place in Christianity. In Christianity, our sin is taken care of by the blood. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And there is no such thing as karma. It's like people with a dream catcher on their window or windshield or rearview mirror. I'm like, dude, we're not into catching spirits on an Indian reservation through a dream catcher. I mean, think about what we allow into our belief system sometimes. It gets scary. What we allow sometimes, it's doctrines of demons pulling us in and polluting the pure word of God. In some regions, like especially Latin America and other parts of the world, they mix Christianity with local tribal voodoo and witchcraft. I was in Africa 2 weeks ago, and they have a real issue over there with mixing juju with Christianity. Some of the pastors, I was told by my friend, will go to a juju priest, and juju translated into the French became voodoo, which came to the Americas through Haiti and, you know, so forth. But nonetheless, they'll go to a juju priest, some pastors will, so they can have power. And so they can be successful. And my friend who I was with preached for 4 days against that. We gathered pastors together, and man, he unloaded with scripture on them against it. We're not to pray for vengeance. We're not to see God destroy our enemies and rejoice over it. We're not to have priests put hexes on people. I'm way off base here, but I'm still in the realm of what we're talking about, all right? So Satan comes to distort and pull you away from the pure Word of God. Listen, I'm going to say this just because I feel like it. He can do it through traditional legalism as well. You got free by the Holy Ghost. You got free by the blood. Then you got someone coming into your life telling you, no, you're really not saved until you do this and 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 you look like everybody else and you talk. You know. Now, granted, there's some discipleship, but sometimes we take that legalism so far, and what's dangerous about it is when we do those things, then we feel like we're righteous, and it's really a false sense of righteousness because it's not the righteousness of Christ. It's my own works trying to make me righteous. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved unto good works. That's already been ordained by Him who called me, Ephesians chapter 2. Somebody say amen. Amen. Enough of that. Point 3. Demons come to inflict suffering. They come to inflict suffering and pain. Matthew chapter 17. Jesus is on a mountain with 3 of His disciples, Peter, James, and John. They see Jesus transfigured. He shines like the sun. And they were like, oh my gosh, they really see Him in His glory. And then He walks down the mountain with these guys, and they come up to a scene happening with the other disciples. They walk up on this scene, and this dad comes to Jesus frantic, and he says, Lord, my son is vexed with a demon, and it causes him to convulse, and it throws him into the fire sometimes. I took him to your disciples and they couldn't help him. Can you do anything? Jesus backs up and says, whoa, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And Jesus cast the demon out of that boy, and then he was set completely free. So this boy was afflicted by a demon, and it was causing him to have convulsions and be thrown into the fire. We see the man who was the Gadarene demoniac wandering among the tombs, cutting himself, naked. It was caused by demons. Jesus cast those demons out. Often Jesus cast out, when someone was sick, He often cast out a spirit of infirmity, meaning the sickness was caused by demonic influence. So Satan comes to inflict pain and injury. He comes to bring negative effects to your lives. So what's the one big takeaway? If you get nothing else today, I want you to get this. And that is this. If you are a born-again believer, if you are a Christian, if you are under the blood of Christ, if you are a child of God in here this morning, you have miraculous authority over the darkness in the name of Jesus. Period. You've been given miraculous authority in Jesus' name over all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. You'll have power over serpents and scorpions, which I believe were types of demonic spirits. And then He says to His apostles in Matthew chapter 28, behold, all of authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go therefore, preach the gospel unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, meaning I have all authority, but I'm granting it to you, and I'm always backing you up. Can somebody say amen? You have authority in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 10, He called His 12 disciples to Him, and He gave them power, it says, over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. It's as if you've been deputized from the Father above. When a deputy is deputized, he receives a badge, he receives a gun, he gets the uniform, the hat, the whole shebang, and he can go out, if called to, and stand in the middle of a 4-way traffic stop and hold out his hand. And oncoming traffic will cease. He can, with a wave of his hand, tell the others to go, and they go. Why? Does he have that authority? Does he have authority to run up to a car going 35 miles an hour and stop it? No, he doesn't. But he has the authority to tell it to stop. And here's the cool thing. If they don't obey him, then there's a bigger authority behind him. It's the law. And it's the court system. And if you don't obey him, you're going to answer to a larger authority, a one that can bring down more wrath than this guy can. Can you say amen? Same thing with you and I. You and I have authority. We use the authority of the kingdom that's been given us in Jesus' name. And we have someone backing us up who's greater than we are. Hallelujah. Come on. And if they mess with us, they have to answer to a higher authority. Look at your neighbor and say, you have authority. And we're just, you know, I know I'm peeling back the curtains and letting you see another aspect of human existence, and that is the reality of demons and spirits. And some of y'all are like, yeah, Pastor Hans, this is good, but I'm just trying to get the dishes washed this evening. I'm just trying to get my husband to mow weeds this week at some point. I'm just trying to get the kids to school before I pull all the hair out of their head, you know, and I'm... So how do you, just living a normal life, mom and dad working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, how do we deal with things that are attacks that come our way? How do we deal with them? Well, I'm going to throw a suggestion out. And that is, you deal with them in a natural way. How about that? How about as a Christian, you just do what's natural to you? What do I mean by that? Sickness comes your way. There's something that's negative. Let's say you battle anxiety huge. You're having panic attacks. What do you do? Number one, you make an appointment with a doctor and go see someone that's good. No shame involved in that. In some Pentecostal circles years ago, there was like this negative thing about going to any doctors. I want to lift that off your life today. I mean, go find a great doctor that knows what they're doing. And then pray in Jesus' name. And go to the healing rooms and have people lay hands on you and bind your saints together and start battling this thing in the spirit. Somebody say amen. So, okay, well, you're having psychological problems. Maybe you were abused as a child or you've had some traumatic experiences in your life. Go find a counselor that is good and let them help you. Find someone that maybe has a common philosophy like you believe, or maybe a Christian counselor, and go see someone and let them help you. Number two, pray in the Holy Ghost. Start binding together, believing God's going to set you free and release you from all this that you've been walking through. You know, years ago, this denomination we're in split over the issue of taking medicine. And we were the guys that said, we're not going to have anything to do with it. We don't believe in doctors or medicine. And the denomination split, and there was another small denomination formed out of that called Congregational Holiness Church. They have a very famous pastor right now. His name's Jensen Franklin. But the IPHC, a few years later, were like, we all believe in it too. So we really split over nothing. Amen? Because God uses people who have brains, and God uses experts. And if you come to us for counseling, here's what we do. We're not professional counselors. What we do is short-term biblical pastoral counseling. That is, if you come to me, we love to meet with people, and I'm going to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. If God gives me scripture, I'm going to give it to you. If God gives me prophetic word or discernment, I'm going to lay it on you. But I'm not going to meet with you for 8 weeks and try to psychoanalyze your problem. I'm not qualified for that. I'm not a specialist in that, and that's not the way I roll. It's short-term biblical and pastoral counseling. Now, I may send you to the healing rooms, as we've sent many people there. Or I may send you to Living Free Ministry, because we've recommended that to many people, because they get down and specialize. They're specializing in living free and helping you walk out through kind of like a Christian 12-step program, helping you walk out of that past. And the healing rooms are focused solely on prayer, solely on miraculous prayer and intercession. And I'm just saying, do what's natural. Go do what's natural and then pray and believe God for supernatural results. I don't see anything biblically wrong with that. But go with the natural and then believe for the supernatural to come. Now, unless God speaks to you, if God says, don't do it and believe in me, then bless God, you better not do it and believe in him. You better obey the prompting of the Spirit, because the prompting of the Spirit is huge, especially when we face battles and spiritual warfare. God may prompt you, something's not right here. I need to do something different. And as the Spirit prompts you, God gives us a way of knowing things that are going to come against us in the future. He says when you pray in tongues, in 1 Corinthians 14, we pray mysteries in the Spirit. Which I believe that means God already knows what's coming down the pike for us. And as we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're already praying about things that we haven't encountered yet. Amen. That's another whole sermon right there. So I was talking to a friend of mine about this recently in traveling, that our good friend Doug Eccles went to Haiti years ago. And he got in a cab, and the cab driver was taking him to the hotel. He had reservations in the certain hotel. It was a hotel that was several stories high. And Doug told me, he said, Hans, I just had a slight prompting that I shouldn't go stay there. So he said, I said, hey, to the cabbie, could you take me, I know of another place. Could I just go there and stay instead and see if they have any rooms? He says, sure. So they took our friend Doug to another place that wasn't several stories high, but was just like individual little bungalows. Doug said, we checked in, got our bags in the room. He said, I went and sat out by the pool just for a moment to relax. And all of a sudden, one of the greatest earthquakes Haiti has ever experienced happened. He said, I saw the ground roll like carpet. And the water come completely out of the pool. And it killed thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Now, the hotel he was originally scheduled to stay in collapsed. But the hotel he went to was fine, and his life was saved. And he said, it's amazing how soft that prompting was. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit comes and gives us promptings and helps us in life, in situations, in battles. How many times, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many times have you gone somewhere and you just felt in your spirit, man, I need to get out of here? Or you're going to encounter a certain situation, you just felt, man, this isn't right and I need to do something different. I need to make a different decision. Listen, don't discard those things. Holy Spirit lives in you, and he's given you promptings and helping you navigate through spiritual warfare. I'll say this, and we're going to pray. Darkness is not necessarily the opposite of light. But think about it this way. Darkness is the absence of light. And Jesus called himself the light of the world. And then he said, you guys go and be salt and light in the world. And so as we go into the world, we are light. And as we walk into dark situations, we light up the situation. It's like you're one big human glow stick. That you walk in and everything illuminates. So you may say, Pastor Hans, you just don't understand the work environment I'm in. It's so negative and it's so bad. Yeah, but think of what you're doing to that environment. You're in there, you open the door and come in, and every devil in that place knows you're there because you just lit up the room, man. And every demon understands that you have destiny and promise and anointing on your life, and they would love to have you out of there, I'm sure. But you just stepped in with the greater one on your side. Maybe you're in a bad family situation right now and it's not going well. Well, I'm telling you what, you're lighting up the room right now with your presence in that. And as we step into these situations, we become light. Now let me go one step further. In Scripture, Jesus verbally came against spirits and rebuked them and rebuked Satan himself in the temptations in Matthew chapter 3. So Jesus came and opened up his mouth and verbally rebuked the darkness. Paul and Silas opened up their mouths, Acts chapter 16, and verbally rebuked demons and cast them out, as did the rest of the apostles. So what does that tell me and you? You and I, at some times, we have to open up our mouths and we have to say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over this situation. I cast you out right now. I bind your power from my house. I bind your power and authority over my body. I am God's child and I am under His authority. Hallelujah. And greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. There's a greater one here than Solomon, as Jesus said, and He's living inside of me. And now I take authority in the name of Jesus, and I command you to cease and desist and loose, and I'd command this situation to change right now. Satan has no authority in my home. He has no authority over my children. He has no authority in this church. He has no authority where we go, because we are walking with the stronger man on our side. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, lift your hands and give Him a praise in here. You are not the losers. You are the winners. You are not defeated. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You're coming out of this. Begin to speak it. Begin to pray it. Begin to sing it. Begin to declare it. Begin to command things in Jesus' name. Story of the prodigal son. The prodigal, just stay with me. We're going to close. Stay standing with me. The prodigal son's mouth got him into all that trouble, didn't it? Hey, Dad, give me my inheritance now. I consider you as nothing, as dead before me. I want it now. I'm going to go live my way on my terms. So what happened? He got what he said. He went out and spent all of his living, ended up with the hogs, eating the slop. And he comes to his senses and he says, my word, even in my father's house, better than the servants have better than this, man. I'm telling the slaves in his house have better than this. I will arise and I'll go to my father's house. The same mouth that got him in the trouble is the same mouth that brought him out of the trouble. And he said, I will arise and go to my father's house. I say, I've sinned against you in heaven. Would you please just let me be a servant in this place? And he comes, and you know the story. I think I told it last week. He comes down the lane, and the father sees him, and he rushes out to him. So listen, a lot of us have gotten in trouble over our mouths. Let's just face it. But the same mouth that got you in that trouble can pull you out of that trouble. If you just start verbally proclaiming what God has spoken over you, verbally coming against and binding the devil that comes against you and casting him out. Hallelujah. Satan wants to make it think like it's impossible that he's so powerful. You know, there's a verse that says, we'll look upon him who deceived the nations. I'm not quoting it correctly. And we'll be in dismay and say, is this him? Is this the one that causes all the problems? I love what Dwight Thompson used to say. In Revelation, it said an angel came down and bound Satan and put him into the lake of fire. And Dwight used to say, I believe it's one of those fat baby angels. Like from medieval paintings. I just believe it's one, maybe with a trumpet. And he binds him. And we're going to look one day, Jimmy, we're going to be like, is that what we were afraid of? My word. Come on, you have more power in you than you know. There's more authority in you than you realize. Okay, we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift our hands, God, and we thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that you've given us authority over all the works of the enemy. And now, Lord, we just speak against fear. And we bind the spirit of fear over us in this room, in Jesus' name. Father, we bind the spirit of fear over our children who are in the nursery and in Kidstown this morning. Lord, those who have been having trouble sleeping, been having nightmares, I speak against the work of the enemy in their lives, and we bind his authority. And God, we pray peace on our kids, blessing on our kids. Lord, I pray blessing and health on everyone in this room right now in the name of Jesus. Those who have been engaged in spiritual warfare, they've been fighting this. We stand against you, Satan. We bind your power right now in Jesus' name. You have no authority over these people in Jesus' name. God, we loose them in Jesus' name and command every person free in this house right now. God, I command freedom right now. God, lies that's been spoken, we cast them down and command freedom and truth to reign in Jesus' name. Come on, affliction in bodies that's caused by demons, we bind your authority and we cast you out of here in Jesus' name. We declare healing and freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, he combo shata isi combo shikata darwosata yera maha. Yes, in do shakundo rushna tesi baba. Yes, in borumo shiba kamba dior durobo kosata yera maha. Sendi a robo shikambo sakati. Andi debo simba baba. By shondo robo sintekira masata yera maha. Why do you fear? Why do you shake? Why are you afraid when I've given you all authority? Come, says the Lord. Taste and see that I am good. Come, says the Lord, and taste and see that I am good. And I give unto you power this day. I pull back the curtains on the spirit realm this day. And I let you see your authority this day. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you praise right now, Lord. God, we give you praise right now in this house. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God, I stand against works. I stand against manifestations in people's homes. God, there's been spirit manifestations happening in people's homes. We bind those and cast them down in Jesus' name. And God, we declare our homes the place of peace. We declare our homes the place of the Spirit of the Lord right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, pray with me. Pray in the Holy Ghost just a few moments here, church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, some of you right now need to repent right now, right where you stand, of being involved in horoscopes, being involved with the Ouija board, being involved with spiritism, being involved in seances or palm readers or witch doctors or whatever. You need to lay it down right now, just right where you stand. Say, God, I repent right now. Cleanse me in your blood. Come on, I repent of it right now. Cleanse me in your blood. Maybe some of you have been involved in the occult and made curses and stuff, been involved in Satanism. You need to lay it down right now in Jesus' name. God, we cleanse this atmosphere right now in the Spirit. And we just declare freedom in this house right now. God, we just claim right now in Jesus' name all curses against this church and all curses against this congregation. We bind them and break them right now through the power of the blood, and we declare our church curse free. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray with me about 30 more seconds. Come on, pray. Pray in the Spirit. Come on, pray with me. He said, Hans, I would see people in Pakistan get near my friend and start manifesting demons because he lives a consecrated life of prayer. And he said, I would just get near him. They would get near him and start manifesting. I'm telling you, I believe you can live in a place where Satan knows when you walk in the room. Amen? He knows when you walk in the room. He knows your house is sanctified, is set apart. Man, I want to live in that, don't you? That's authority we have. We heard the word of the Lord. Let's just claim the authority over our lives right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Come on, every eye closed, every head bowed. And just come on. How many of you have been walking through a struggle and you feel that something spiritual is going on? Just let me see your hand. All over this church. All over this church. Father, for every hand raised, we pray victory in their lives right now in Jesus' name. We just pray victory over them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. We pray they start fighting when they get home, but it's in the Spirit. That they start fighting in the Spirit in Jesus' name. We just call freedom forth in Jesus' name. We call freedom forth in Jesus' name. How many of you could lift your hand and say, Pastor Hans, I need prayer. I'm not where I need to be with God. But my word this morning, I want to get it right with Him. Come on, we're going to pray for you right where you stand. Thank you and thank you. And others may be in here, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, thank you and thank you. Maybe you say, I need to get it right with the Lord right now. Come on, come on, hands one more time. I need to get it right with Jesus. Come on, let's all pray this. We're going to pray two prayers. We're going to commit our lives to Christ, and then we're going to break off every curse and every attack right now in Jesus' name. Pray it with me. Come on, stay with me and pray. Father in heaven, I dedicate my heart and my life to you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He is the truth. I believe He is the Word of God. And I confess Him as Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus, cleanse me in your blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Give me authority over the darkness. And I will serve you from this moment on. Okay, second prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I claim your authority. And in the name of Jesus, I break every assignment of the enemy against my life and against my family. You have no authority in my family. You have no rights. This is God's territory. In Jesus' name, I break every assignment from my church. This is your church. Satan, you have no authority over the people of this church. And we declare freedom in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me. It caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning. And it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this,
you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or till you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.